Now, a few years ago, there was two former university friends came together with an idea. They were called Bobby Murphy and Evan Spiegel. I think that's how his name's pronounced. They had an idea of setting up a company for sharing pictures and messages online. And you young folk will know all about that. They called that company Peekaboo. They hoped that it would be their winning ticket to make them their fortune. But unfortunately, it flopped. You see, there were those who said, it would never take off. You're wasting your time. And so those two young boys came together again. They put their heads together and says, look, we have something here. It's bound to work. And all they did was change the name of that company to something you will know, Snapchat. Today, those two young men, and it was sickening you, are worth billions because of Snapchat. You know, in the Forbes list of the richest people, you will find more and more young people on that list. They have made their fame and fortune. They're part of the dot-com revolution. They have their money made before the age of 30. Now, the verses which I read just a few minutes ago speak of a young man commonly referred to as a rich young ruler. Perhaps if there had been a Forbes rich list in his day, he may well have been on it. His encounter with the Lord Jesus is found in all three synoptic gospels. And when you bring all that information together, you get a picture of who this young man was. All three tell us that he was rich. Keep that in mind, he was rich. Matthew mentions he was young. Luke tells us he was a ruler. And Mark tells us here that he came and he knelt before the Lord Jesus, indicating that he was a man who was earnest and had respect. And the Lord Jesus used that encounter to teach the disciples and to teach us tonight of the corrupting power of riches within our lives. How it can have a detrimental effect on you if you do not know how to use them properly. Therefore, we must take note, and I won't be too long, of what the Lord said. This passage of Scripture about the rich young ruler is one of the greatest tragedies in the Bible. On the surface, there's a lot of things that this young man had in his favor. He came at the right time. He came when he was young. He came to the right person. He asked the right questions. He got the right answers from the Lord. But he made that mistake. The tragedy was he did the wrong thing. And that is a warning to us tonight, young and old. Here was a young man, and he should have been recorded in the Bible's who's who there, that great chapter of faith in Hebrews. Instead, he's recorded on the pages of Scripture forever in the Bible's who's not. He had an opportunity to gain everything, and he refused. And as a result, he never entered the kingdom of heaven. You see, the pull of the world was too much. He maybe looked at it and says, you know, I can't leave it. And there's many like that tonight. They'll see Christians and they'll see the sacrifices that they have to make. And they'll say, I don't want that. I want to enjoy my life, but yes, I believe in God. Well, the Bible tells us the devil believes in God. Jesus himself says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Three really quick points. First of all, look at the character of this man. When I said we put the information together, we get a picture. First of all, this young boy had privilege. All gospel writers tell us he was rich. According to Luke, he had great wealth. Matthew says that he was young. And the fact that he was young and wealthy would seem to indicate somewhere along the line that he was able to enjoy a life of ease, a life he became accustomed to. Money was not a problem. He could have just went anywhere he wanted within reason. He didn't have to worry about saving up. The Bible doesn't tell us how this young man came to get his fortune. Did he work for it? Or more than likely, he inherited it from the family. Now, there's nothing wrong, just might I say here, with having a few quid. I haven't tuppence. But if you have a few quid tonight in the bank, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you've earned it honestly. It's not the result of some fraud or whatever. But not only had he privilege, he had position. Luke tells us this man was a ruler. Now he came to the Lord, he called him teacher or master, and that it was assumed that because he used that kind of language, that he would be a ruler in the synagogue. And so here was a young man and he's wealthy. But notice something else, there was privilege, position, he had prestige. He was a religious man. His friends, the peer group he ran about with, looked to him. And they saw in that young man an honest guy. He had integrity. There's nothing that's written in the scripture to say that he was bad. According to the information, he seems to be a very moral young man. He lived a good life. He was a shining example to his family and the community. In fact, he gave a lot of time to keep in the effort of the laws of God. He said to Jesus, I've kept them all from I was a young boy. And that tells us he was moral. He was rich. He had the world at his feet. And it didn't go to his head. So far, so good. Sometimes there is a tendency, isn't there, for riches to corrupt a person's life. Not many can endure the burden of luxury and not affect them morally. You read about people who win the lottery. Within a short space of time, their lives are in ruins. They go and buy fancy cars and move into big mansions. They go on all these holidays, and they're not used to it. And before long, all the hangers-on have come, and they've taken what they could, and the people are left worse than when they ever first bought that lottery ticket. But at the start, this man looked good. His conduct and character was not questioned. The Bible lets us know that this young man was searching for something. Despite his wealth, despite of all that he had, the privilege and so on, there was something missing within his life. And that's why he came to Jesus. Materially, he was full. Spiritually, he's empty. We live in a society today, don't we, where people have that tendency to think sometimes money is the answer. If I only had a few more quid, I could do this, I would do that. And people say, you know, if I come in to a wheen a pound, you know, I give some to charity. A load of nonsense. It wouldn't improve your life and you wouldn't improve anybody else's. Someone once said, money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Can buy a diamond, but not love. And money can buy a church pew, but not eternal life. I used to work in London in a bank. And sometimes famous people would have come in. There was a guy who used to come in. He was very famous in the 90s and into the decade after that. And he came in two ways. He came in as he would appear on television, and he was quite popular. And when he came in like that, you could talk to him. But if he came in with the sunglasses and the hat on, you just did not even mention his name. You served him. That was it. You see, that man was a chronic depressant. He had loads of money, but his life was empty. He had nothing. He had fame and fortune, but he had nothing inside. And that's why riches can corrupt you. Don't say, I want to be rich. With regards to material things. So here's a young man, really quickly, he was in a quest. He's looking for something in his life. He was well educated, intellectually, but he knew that there was something else, more important. And he couldn't get the answer to life's greatest question, how do you get to heaven? So this man had the desire to do something about it. It says he came running to Jesus. That wonderful. That shows he had a sense of urgency in his life. He had a priority, and nothing was going to stop him to get to the Lord. I remember a few weeks weeks ago down there in Sandy Road, there was a boy went past me as fast as Usain Bolt. I thought to myself, what's he in a hurry for? And saw the two police cars coming up behind him. They soon found out. But here's a man, he's not running away from somebody. He's running to somebody. He's running to Jesus. He meets Jesus on the road. And that shows that he's not ashamed to come and to speak about spiritual matters. How often are we ashamed to say, you know, I went to church on Sunday night. I was involved in this youth club or that. You go into work tomorrow, you'll talk about the football. You'll talk about the weather, but will you talk about Jesus? This young boy wasn't embarrassed to say that he come seeking the Lord. He came pondering the issues of eternity. He bowed in the presence of greatness. And he asked the Lord, what have I to get or do to obtain eternal life? You know, he's in the right direction. He's expressing an interest in eternal matters, a desire within his heart. And you know, it's hard to get people today to be involved in the things of God. You mentioned, you can talk about any subject. I do the doors. You talk about anything. The moment you mention Jesus, you know, the conversation dies. But you know, we have to keep going. Man has been privileged by God down through the years, and I'm going to be really quick. He split the atom. Man has landed on the moon, done heart transplants, brain transplants, all those different things. And they can achieve wonderful things, but man does not know how to get to heaven in the whole, do they? Because the world is ignorant today of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was concerned about his soul. And I wonder tonight, are you concerned as well where you'll spend eternity? You know, I was visiting a man for a number of weeks. He came to the hall. He had cancer, terminal cancer. He's losing an awful lot of weight. I was with him last Friday, or a week past on Friday. I went last Monday to see him. He's not a Christian. I woke him up twice, and I said, you have to get this settled now. And the last words he said to me on Monday afternoon as I left the cancer up the wee hospice there in North Belfast, I can't promise you I'll do it. He died on Tuesday night. Folks, there's an urgency to get to Christ and put your trust in him. Nobody's promised tomorrow. You see, salvation is not by what you do, it's what has been done. And Jesus said to that young man, you're very near to salvation. You're almost there. In fact, you're standing in the presence of the one who can give you eternal life. But the last two points, and they are really, really quick. We see the Master, the Lord Jesus. You know, he asked about eternal life, but Jesus didn't answer. He said to Jesus at the beginning, good master. Jesus said, there's none good except God. And what he was saying to that man, unless you are calling me God, you cannot call me good. And folks, if you ever want to be in heaven, you have to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's not just a good teacher. He's not a moral teacher. You know, in the back of their t-shirts, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the ticket to heaven. And without Jesus in your heart, you'll never be there. This young man thought he had everything. Jesus named some of the commandments. And the young boy, you know, he sat there. He says, yep, I've done that. I've done that one. I've done it. He probably wiped his hands. He says, this is it. I'm in. But that's a mistake. That's the last point. You can almost imagine this scene. There's a crowd is gathered because the master's there. He's the main attraction, isn't he? That's why we're here tonight, because Jesus is in the building by his Spirit. And the people came and they stood round and they listened because they knew this young man. Maybe he's a wee bit of a celebrity in the area. And that young man had listened intently to what the Lord Jesus Christ had said. As he said, he had said to him, look, I've kept all these things. And he was expecting then Jesus to say to him, you're in. You're one of my own. But he didn't say that. You know, Jesus looked at him because Jesus loved him. And Jesus could see past all the outside exterior. He could see into this young man's heart. And he could see a heart that was yearning for something, but hadn't quite grasped the enormity and the urgency of trusting in him. And he wanted to test him, and he turned to the young man. He says, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. That wasn't the answer this young boy wanted. You see, throughout his young life, he was used to doing things. And he wanted to do something to get to heaven, to merit salvation. There's maybe someone tonight here, and you think, well, if I come to church and I read my Bible and I pray, well, sure, that's enough. The Bible doesn't say that. You have to put your trust alone in Jesus Christ. No one will be in heaven only because of Jesus, not because of your good works. He wanted to test him. He says, go and sell everything you have. The problem was this young man was rich and he didn't want to part with what he had. He forgot that his treasures that he had there on the earth are only temporal. They'll pass away. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can have everything tonight, materially, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Jesus calls this man to take up the cross and follow him. Not easy to do. To the unsaved person, let me tell you, the carnal mind is too high a price to cross. But if you ever want to be in heaven, it's the only way, as I said, to be there. The man leaves heart broken. He came with Jesus on his mind and he walked away with hell as his destination. And it'll be the same for you tonight as I finish. If you're not saved tonight, and I want to say to this to you very clearly, there must be something in your life that's stopping you coming to Christ if you want to be saved. It could be your friendships. The peer pressure, the group that you have maybe at school or whatever, and maybe you want to become a Christian, but all your mates, well, they're not, they don't go to church, they're not interested, and you are frightened to become a Christian. It could be your family. Because nobody at home's a Christian, you won't get any support, and you say, I couldn't do it there, it's going to be too difficult. It could be a secret sin that you haven't confessed, you haven't dealt with. It's become a habit. You cannot break it. And you say, I can't give it up. And you say to God, you know, if you help me with this here, I'll do this. You come as you are. And let God deal with your sin. Whatever it is in your life tonight, if you're not saved, get rid of it. Come as this young man came. Come earnestly. Come urgently. But don't do what he did. Walk away without Christ. You have an eternal decision to make this evening. Your destiny depends on that decision. Will you trust Christ or will you stay where you're at on that broad road? I did a funeral, just finished with this a few weeks ago. Actually, I did two in just over a week. But one of them was of a man. The other one was of a lady. And the lady was just approaching her 90th birthday. She'd been in the hospital quite a number of weeks, a lovely wee lady. And the doctor come up one day to her, and well, a lot of student doctors, and they're all round and poking and hooking her. She said, I didn't mind too much. And one of the young doctors spoke to her, and she says, I'm ready to go home now. And he went, oh no, Mari, you're not ready yet. And she turned and she says, I'm ready. I've been ready for over 75 years, and I'm going home. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say that towards the end of your life? You're ready to go, should God take you now. I trust everybody in here tonight will know for certain that heaven is their home. Jesus has prepared it all. How awful to lose and to leave behind what you could have and to go to hell. Tonight, trust Christ, and you won't regret it. We'll pray, and then we'll sing our closing piece. Father God, we do thank you tonight for the cross. We do thank you that it is the only means of getting to heaven. When Christ walked this earth, he knew that one day Calvary would be his destiny. And even though people kneeled, or put nails in his hands and his feet and crowned him with thorns, he still loved him. He said, Father, forgive them. And tonight he wants to forgive those in this building who do not know him, who haven't put their trust in him. And so I pray, Father, that in childlike faith, that each person here tonight would trust Christ for salvation. With that promise that whoever comes to him, he will never turn away. No one has ever been refused. And we trust that someone tonight will take that offer before it's too late. This we pray in Christ's name alone. Amen.